Amen. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians once again this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to share with you this. This is to parents and children. If we're going to have godly homes, we're going to have godly marriages, we're going to have godly fathers, we're going to have godly mothers, but we're also going to have godly children. And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, okay, the teenagers out there are looking at me as he's an old guy. That's okay, I'm good with that. But I don't want this old guy to preach at you today. My goal is to share with you and to encourage you as a child of your parents as well as a child of God to do what's right in the sight of God. And so that's my goal. And to accomplish that, I got to have God's power, God's strength, and God's wisdom. So pray for me from that perspective or for that, that God will give me the ability to say it right today. We're not only going to talk to children, we're going to talk a little bit to parents also. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 1 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do pray for your guidance as we examine your word today. Father, speak to us. Guide us. Give us wisdom in interpreting your scriptures. And apply it, Lord, to each individual life as it is appropriate. To the young as well as to the old. Father, we pray that you would be glorified in this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Children and their parents. We start today with the command in verse 1. Children. So he's addressing, how many children do we have in the service today? There you go. Okay. And that's what I wanted you to get. This is not talking just to the little guys or to the teenagers. If you're a child, if you have parents, this would refer to you. Okay? So children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Now, we all know that once you get to that age, a certain age, and you start providing your own living, you start raising your own family, that we don't so much live to obey our parents. But at the same time, you know what? At that age, I didn't have to worry too much about obeying my parents because they taught me that when I was younger and I grew up. And so even until my parents passed away, I would still did my best to do what they asked me to do. I would still want to obey them if it were possible. But the first thing I want us to do is to look at this word obey. What does this word obey really mean? It's not just a do what I say kind of a word. It is a word that carries the idea of surrender or yield yourself to someone. You see, I don't want you to think that your parents are some big God-given dictator just to watch over you so they can beat you over the head every time you mess up. That's not what they're about. You see, this word obey, it carries the idea that you surrender yourself to the authority of your parents. Now, most kids would back up, or most children would back up and say, well, why should I? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to answer that, right? Have you ever heard a child say, you can't tell me what to do? Yeah, if you're a parent, you have. Actually, they can. Number one, because it's right. Now, that doesn't need a lot of explaining, does it? It's right for you to obey your parents. If you'll notice, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's not saying obey your parents, and I've heard this preached this way. He's not saying obey your parents if they're doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. That's not the meaning of this. Okay? As a matter of fact, that kind of goes without saying. If your parents told you to do something that was contrary to God, of course you would not do that. But what the idea of that scripture is when he says, obey your parents in the Lord, it's obey your parents for it is right in the Lord. Does that make sense? Why do you obey your parents? Because it's right in the Lord. Now, guess this. If you are a child of God, right? No matter what age you are, if you are a child of God, it is God's expectation and God's declaration that you obey your parents simply because God said, this is what Christian people do. And let's face it, doesn't God have that right to tell us that? This is the way you're supposed to do it. This is how to be a child. So number one, that's what a Christian does. They obey their parents. And number two, and you're going to love this one, but let me, especially the young, you obey them because your parents are much more experienced than you are. Now we're going to talk to the young folks just a little bit. Okay? I know you think that your parents are old-fashioned. You think that your parents are out of touch with modern times. And yes, your parents may not even be able to program their own cell phone. But I want to give you this, right? The things that are going on today are not new. You know, kids, for some reason, please don't be offended when I use the word kids. I don't mean to talk down to you. Children today just have the concept that my parents don't understand because they've never faced what I'm facing. What you're facing is not new. Okay? I want to tell the young folks something that's going to just blow you away. They had wild parties when your parents were your age. They did. Now we're not going to suggest. I'm not going to say that they went, but they knew what they were. They were around. Go a step farther. We had drugs when your parents were young. We had alcohol when your parents were young. Even a step farther, there were immoral sexual relationships when your parents were young. I'm going to tell you something. All probability, your parents have seen it all. Right? Now, we're not going to say been there and done that. I just want you to understand your parents are not nearly as uninformed as you think they are. Okay? They have seen it since their childhood. They know what happens at parties. They know what happens when you drink. They know what happens when you do drugs. They know all that. See, there's nothing new. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, Solomon told us that. He said, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. You do not have the market cornered on new. As a matter of fact, and I said, they had all this stuff when your parents were young. They had all this stuff during the days of Jesus. They had all this stuff before Jesus. Go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You want an ungodly, immoral place. It was that. So I want you to understand, young people, that it's nothing new. You don't have the market cornered on originality. Don't you just love styles of clothing and haircuts? It just makes me smile as young people come out with the new styles. And it reminds me, hey, I must have been cool because that's what I wore when I was their age. You know? Don't think that you have the market cornered and you face more than anybody has ever faced in your life, because that's simply not true. It's always been around since the very beginning. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? How that went down. God had given them one instruction. You can eat whatever you want to in the Garden of Eden, but there's one tree that you do not eat of. That was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Here come old Satan one day. Satan said, hey, Eve, has God said that you can't eat of all of the trees? And Eve said, well, there's one tree. God said, we can eat of all the other trees, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that we eat of it, we'll die. Do you remember what Satan said? Nah. You won't die. God just knows when you eat that fruit that you will be like God Himself. And you will have the knowledge of good and evil. You won't die. As a matter of fact, God's just trying to hold out on you. He's just trying to keep you from having a good time and enjoying your life and experiencing everything that you can possibly experience. You see, God doesn't want you to have a good time. He doesn't want you to have all these wonderful experiences. He doesn't want that for you. So, hey, Eve, go ahead. Eat the fruit. And we know how that turned out, right? Oh, they died spiritually, and life became a train wreck for them. Now, does that story sound familiar? How many times have you heard your parents say, do not do this? Let me give you some loving insight. They're not saying, do not do this, because they don't want you to have fun. They're saying, do not do this, because it will mess up your life. And they love you too much to see your life messed up. Okay? That's the first thing I want to draw your attention to, is this concept of as when we're young, there are certain expectations that God has for young people. Being young is no excuse. Right? Listen, sometimes I want to just grab parents and say, what are you thinking? You know, and they say, well, boys will be boys. I want to grab them and say, no, you parents need to be parents. You know? Don't excuse them. I'm saying don't abuse them, but don't excuse, well, it's okay because they're a boy. No, it's not. They need guidance, parents. They need parents to be parents. Understand, whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, there are certain standards, expectations that God has of His children, no matter what your age is. Okay? First lesson, children, obey your parents. That's your actions. Now let's talk about attitudes. Verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and your mother. Now, again, this applies to all children. It doesn't matter your age. But I want you to understand what that word honor means. It means to respect. It carries the idea of weightiness. The Hebrew word actually carries the idea of making something heavy. And the idea is, as you look at your parents, you look at them from the eyes of respect and honor and appreciation. Because I want to tell you, most of the parents that I know in this church would sacrifice their very life for the well-being of their children. Okay? So young people, please just stop and consider a moment all that your parents have done and honor them for being good parents. But I also want to remind you, when it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, this scripture has been around, and as a matter of fact, it's not really a good translation in any version that I've read. This scripture comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where the children of Israel, or Moses, was given the Ten Commandments. There it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. A little bit different, isn't it? Listen, what Paul is doing, and if you literally translated Paul's words in Ephesians, it would read like this, in order that well you be, and that you will last long in the land. Now, I want to tell you what I'm thoroughly convinced. This is not a scripture promising long life to everybody who honors their parents. That's not the idea. Okay? The idea, Paul is simply restating what was stated in the book of Exodus to the children of Israel. And the promise to the children of Israel was, honor your parents, honor your father and your mother, so your days may be long in the land that I give, which is God's giving the promised land. What he's doing, he's establishing a standard for well-being, not on an individual level, but on a people level or a national level. When we say honor your father and mother, and when he says this is the first commandment with promise, again, it's kind of taken out of order. I believe it should read, this is the first commandment, meaning this is the most important commandment. This is the first thing a child needs to learn. So parents, get on board here. Here's your job. It is your job to teach a child how to honor you and how to respect not only you, but all those who are in authority. Okay? If your child is not taught to respect authority or to respect his parents, he will not respect the authority of anyone. I'm going to say that again. Parents, if you do not teach your children to respect your authority, he will grow up and have no respect for anyone or anything. Makes sense, right? If a child will not respect his parents, he will not respect his government. If a child will not respect his parents, he will not respect the police officer who pulls him over on the side of the road. If a child will not respect his parents, he will not respect the President of the United States. If a child will not respect his parents, he will not respect anything. It's got to start somewhere. And parents, this is telling you, this is the first thing you want to teach a child, is how to respect you as well as other people. It's not okay for children to dishonor other people. It's not, parents, it's not okay for your child to smart off to you. It's not, well, Brother Doug, they're just kids. Now, we talked about that a while ago, okay? Have some expectations. It's not okay for you, for a child to smart off to their parents. Listen, probably the closest I've ever come to going fist with one of my children was because of Beth. I still remember, and I'm not going to name a child. I don't remember what they said, but I remember it was very disrespectful to their mom. And we were going to go toe-to-toe, or they were going to back down. Because she deserves respect. Husbands, do not let your children disrespect your wife. Wives, do not let your children disrespect your husband. You see, we've entered this place in society, in our country, that really bothers me, in that there just seems to be no respect for anything. And the reason there is because it's not being taught in the home. It's okay for a child to lay down in the floor and kick and scream and yell and throw a hissy fit. That's what we used to call it, hissy fits. It's okay. Well, he's just a child. No! No! Well, it's okay for a teenager to be wild and go out and drink and do other things that they shouldn't say. Well, they're just young. No! No! Teach them. And especially teach them to respect. You remember when I was growing up? No, I said I wasn't going to say that. When I was growing up. Y'all don't really care that I walked to school uphill in the snow both ways, do you? There was a time when yes, sir, and no, sir, was the right answer. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, was the right answer. Not only was it the right answer, it was expected. I don't know how many times growing up I was corrected, and I heard other parents correct what I, you know, when they would. Their children would say to an adult, they would say, yeah, yeah. So we've all been there and done that. But I praise God for the parents that stop. Whoa. It's not yeah. It's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You see, you may think that's a very small thing. But what it does is it teaches respect. And I'll be absolutely honest with you. I don't care whether a child says yes, sir, to me or no, sir, to me. It does not do anything to me, for or against. But it does do something for that child. It teaches respect. Why do you think we as a nation are where we are? Where when a police officer pulls a person over and says, would you step out of the car? That person will sit there and say, I don't have to do what you say. Why do you think we are as a nation? There are people who think they can go into cities and burn and loot because they are entitled to have what they want. What has happened to our nation? I'll tell you. We quit teaching respect. I I've often heard people say, "Don't call me sir. That was my dad's name. Sir was my dad's name." That may sound really good, but it's really not very wise. Because you're teaching that child not to have respect. That's what Paul is getting at here. It's very simple. Respect. And I'll be honest, I really can't blame our children for the lack of respect. It's the lack of teaching of respect that has gotten us where we are. Parents, we have to do our job. Then number three, the ambition of the Christian father. Let's change father to the parent. Okay, I know this was addressed to the father because it's because he's supposed to be the head of the home. But the ambition of the Christian parent slash father in verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Okay, we've got the actions of the children. Have standards for your children to live up to. Expectations. Okay? Attitudes of your children. Make sure they respect you as well as others. Now let's get to the ambition of the parent. What are you trying to accomplish with all this? Pretty easy, right? "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." What does that mean? It means to make them angry and resentful. Here's the thing you have to be very careful of as a parent. And that is dictatorship. Have you ever heard a parent say, "As long as you live under my roof, you will obey my rules"? It sounds cool and it sounds big, but here's the reality. It will create resentment. They will grow resenting more and more all those things that you made them do. Right? When you do it with that attitude. I'm not saying it's not right for them to follow your rules, but you have to be careful the way you try to enforce it on them. You are not a dictator, men. Because what happens is when they resent it, when they grow up and leave home, guess what they'll do? They will do just the opposite of the thing that you've been teaching them for 18 or 20 years. You see, they'll move off to college. When they get to college, they'll discover, "Hey, I don't have to do all those things that Daddy made me do. I don't have to be all those things that Daddy made me be because I'm not under his roof anymore." That's why we lose a lot of college students, to be honest with you, I think, through the years. They've had that legalistic mentality. Come to church. You come to church because it's the right thing to do. You get to church, you sit down and you be quiet and you don't do anything. And you like it until you're 20 years old. And when you get out of my house, you can do what you want to. And they do. Parents, don't send your kids to church. Take them to church. Don't let them see a parent just sitting there all stoic and never enjoying anything. But rather teach them how to enjoy the worship and fellowship of God through a church family. Don't just take them to church and set them on a bench. Teach them how to get involved. Teach them how to be a part. Whether it's choir, whether it's building, whether it's teaching, whatever. You make sure that they grow up understanding, man, this isn't a have to. This is something we get to do. It is an honor and a privilege. You see, that's the mentality you have to instill in your children. I was raised by a good man. But he was very legalistic. And to be honest with you, it took me a long time to come to grips with legalism and being free indeed. Right? Your ambition as a parent is to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Three words. Bring up. That word means to nourish. So the picture is nourish a child as you would your own child. Feed, provide what he needs, right? Bring him up. Nourish that child in the training. That word training means guide to maturity. Guiding someone to maturity. So you're going to nourish them to maturity through the instruction of the Word of God. This is your goal. That you nourish this child into maturity through the instruction of the Word of the Lord. That's your job as a parent. You see, and they've got to know that based on that picture Paul's painting, that what you're doing is just saturated in love and caring and desire for that young person. You see, sometimes we get tough as parents and we make it hard for them to see, man, I'm doing this because I really do love you. I'm not trying to be a dictator. I'm not trying to ruin your life. I'm just trying to help you and to nourish you so you'll grow into a usable, beneficial, good, godly person. That's our point, right? That's our point with parenting. That's Paul's point here. Listen, I truly believe the biggest problem that we have as a nation today, the United States of America, is not the government. It is not the parties. Democrats, Republicans, independents, whatever. That's not the problem. It's not bad laws. It's not bad policy. None of that's the problem. What's got us to where we are today is the destruction of the family. It starts at home. It starts with men who want to be good, godly men. It starts with women who want to be good, godly women. And those men and women passing those good, godly principles down to their children so that they can pass it to their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It starts in the home. You want to rebuild America? Rebuild the homes. Rebuild the homes. Put God back in the homes. That's our job as parents. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, you've got nothing to build on. You have nothing to build on. You've got to start. One thing I've learned in life is before you build, you've got to lay a foundation. The Apostle Paul said, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid is Jesus Christ. Listen, you build your foundation on Jesus Christ. You've got to know Him as your personal Savior. That means you have committed and surrendered your life to Him because He is the Son of God who paid for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. Have you done that? If not, you need to take care of that today. You're here today and yeah, you've given your life to Jesus, but you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Here's what you got to know. You got to make it public. Listen, I want everybody to know who I belong to. I belong to Jesus Christ. Right? That's what baptism does. It's your public testimony of what has happened on the inside. Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Maybe you're here and you just kind of fell by the wayside. You've been overwhelmed by the world and you know, especially the events of the last few years, it's kind of easy to get sidetracked. Here's the deal. It's time to get back on track. Time to put God back in your home, back in your life, back in the lives of your family. It's time to rededicate your life. Whatever your spiritual need is, you understand this. God loves you. He loves you so much, He gave His Son to be the sacrifice for your sins so that you could have eternal life. Now, it's your turn to respond to the love of God in this invitation. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word and the instruction of Your Word. And Lord, help us to take this to heart. I pray that as families, we'll be godly men, godly women. That we will have that ambition to raise godly children. That, Father, You would be glorified. And now, Lord, this is Your invitation. May we respond as you lead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you?